Thank you very much. Well, it's about 30 years, I think, I've been involved serving the church and supporting the church as we've worked together in a family of churches in New Frontiers and also now in commission. And it's been a joy for me. I'm not responsible for everything that's happened to you, but I know you've been well served by good leaders and good elders. And I've worked with different generations over those 30 years. And it's really good to be with you. And actually, what I'm going to share with you is in some way has historical content for you as a church and prophetic content for you as a church. So I'm looking forward to my own preach. Now, that's unusual, isn't it? So I won't fall asleep, even if you do. I'll press through. It's nice to be here with Pam. Pam and I have made a move of churches. Obviously, I led the Coin Church in Woking since 1991 through to about 4 years ago when I retired, and we've been there. But now we've moved to Hope Church, Guildford. I had a conversation with the leader there a few months ago, and he said he'd been praying for an older couple. And I didn't know who he meant, but he said he'd been praying for an older couple to join with him, who had kind of leadership experience and well kind of established and focused with commission and New Frontiers and so on. And actually, it just coincided, this is how God works, with Pam and I praying quite fervently for a few weeks about, Lord, what's the next step for us? So that conversation was brilliant because he just said, would you think about coming to Guildford and just being a support to me and my wife and joining in with the church? We're not going to fix anything. Nothing's broken. I'm not going for any position or anything like that. I'm just going to be there with Pam and serve as we can. And so he said, would we do that? And I said, well, we've been praying about it. So he said, well, you might be an answer to our prayers. And I said, well, you might be an answer to ours as well. So it's amazing. Don't give up, whatever age you are. We're both 71 now. Well, I'm 71. My wife's much, much, much younger than that. Yeah. Anyway, I won't go that low, darling. You can't get away with 31. It was a good try. But anyway, and another piece of news is you prayed fervently as a church quite a few years ago when Pam was ill. She had myeloma. And sadly, that's come back. She had stem cell treatment about 5 or 6 years ago, and that's given us 5 or 6 years of remission. And we heard a few months ago, while all this change was happening, that a blood test was showing something different and some change. We've met that with faith and hope and trusting God, as well as the NHS. And Pam has now got 8 months of weekly chemo, but doing well, just had her first blast on Friday. And we're working our way through that. We're trusting God in all of it. And we still believe we've got something to contribute to the kingdom and to local churches as well. So I want to read from Isaiah chapter 54, the first 5 verses. Isaiah 54, these are part of the messianic statements of Isaiah. You know that chapter 53 has been about the suffering servant, about Jesus. He carried our infirmities, carried our sorrows. He was smitten, stricken by God. He was pierced for our transgressions. It focuses then. Then, actually, Isaiah 55 then is like a gospel shout. Come, all who are thirsty, seek the Lord while he may be found. And in the middle is this wonderful thing chapter about, I think, the spread of the church. So I'm going to read it out in a kind of a forceful way, not to keep you awake, but I think this is how we should read scripture and when it's appropriate, and also hear it. Sing, O barren woman, you who never bore a child, burst into song, shout for joy, you who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. Do not be afraid. You will not suffer shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth and remember no more the reproach of your widowhood. For your Maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He is called the God of all the earth. What a kind of a cry. I want to share this with you because you should have a high regard for prophecy. We've already had this morning even just some kind of lovely God-inspired interruptions and encouragement to praise God, to use tongues. If you've got, you can use those and other gifts that we have to praise God. And prophecy is a brilliant gift that brings encouragement and comfort and strengthening to us. And this is a prophetic book. Isaiah was a prophet. But it's not just for those days. These prophecies speak into our context. And this, actually, these verses have been a key prophetic word for this church. Now, I'm not as a visitor coming in and telling you that. I'm telling you as someone who's been involved in the church for 30 years. And I know when the church first kind of left the Baptist context and moved to become Shepherds and Christian Fellowship, these verses were key in the sense of moving out and going to a new season. And then when you were involved in building and providing this great facility, these words again were key to you as a church. And even though it sounds strange for us to be kind of looking forward positively when we've had a season when no one can look forward positively in some ways, when it's been so challenging, hopes have been dashed, plans have been dismantled, we've lost family and friends, all of these things have happened, we still need to hear God's word, don't we? We can't be driven just by circumstances. Right the way through Scripture, people heard God's word regardless of the circumstances. Sometimes they appeared foolish in doing what they did, but they obeyed God and God blessed them. And they're there for our encouragement, and some of them also there for our warning as well. Isaiah 54 was also the basis of a sermon by a man called William Carey. And he preached this passage under the title, Expect Great Things from God, Attempt Great Things for God. Expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. And William Carey became the father of missions. He founded the Baptist Missionary Society, which is one of the forerunners in world mission. And I preached this before, and I'm not preaching it again because I haven't got another sermon. I've got at least three other sermons. A lot more than that. But I could preach something else, but I do believe this is appropriate for this season, that we might lift our heads, open our ears, hear God's word, be realistic about the challenges we still face. I mean, lots of church leaders I'm talking to don't know where the church is, whether it's coming back, what they will restart or whatever. There's uncertainty, but we should still hear God's word. And I want to speak to you as a church here, as a people who have been encouraged by this word, and speak it to you again in a prophetic way and hopefully an encouraging way, but also a way that you can weigh it. And you can say, is this for now? If it's for now, let's believe it. Let's do it. If it's not, then let's forget it. Now, I'm sure you'll receive it with faith as I share it with you. And as we reemerge from the pandemic, and we know challenges are still around us, there is a need for patience and there is a need for tenderness. We're not judging people who are still struggling or cautious about things. But I tell you, even though there's a need for patience and tenderness, there is not really a need or a place for passivity. You know, the enemy is still sowing seeds. He's not stopped. Jesus told a parable about the wheat and then the tares that were sown. An enemy has done this. And the enemy is still at work. And if we as the people of God don't kind of rise up and stand and be kind of move again in some way, despite some of the challenges, many of you continued working and serving brilliantly through the pandemic and served the community well and served your places of work and neighbors and so on, the poor and so on. You've done that. As we reemerge, we must make sure, as we kind of less look to our own personal safety, we must now look to our corporate health. That's what the government is doing. The risk really in kind of opening things up is because the economy, our corporate health, needs to be revived. Otherwise, it'll go down. Now, we don't live by money or economy. We live in God's economy. But here are people considering, what do we need overall for the corporate health, not just the wealth, of this country? And we as individuals need not just to look after ourselves, but now need to think, okay, what is the church doing? How is the church re-engaging? And I can't prescribe for you how you do that, what you do. You have your own calling before God and opportunities to serve the Lord. But I just want to kind of help you to take a step forward in saying, Lord, the church is still powerful and it will still prevail. And I want to be part of that. So I want to bring this word again to you. There is more. There is more for Jubilee Church. It's prophetic comfort. It's prophetic encouragement that you would expand, that you would press on. And this passage here, it's really about the spread of the church. Isaiah's prophecy is partly fulfilled in the Jewish return from exile. But actually, the promises are far more glorious and global to refer just to the post-exile return of the Jews. And the Apostle Paul shows that. In Galatians chapter 4, he quotes verse 1. And he applies this rich prophecy to the children of promise. And we are the children of promise. Hallelujah. We are the heirs of Abraham, who have that seed of promise that was sown. Through Jesus Christ, we are heirs of God, and we know him. So Paul was saying, listen, if you're in the new covenant, this is a passage for you. It's not just locked away in history. It's for you now as the people of God and the children of promise. So Isaiah's prophecy unfolds from his near horizon of the promised return of the exile, those who are exiled, through to us, to the church, and beyond us to the far horizon of the new heavens and the new earth. That's what this prophecy is about, lifting our heads. Now, we know that church and kingdom advance is going to be accompanied by persecution, oppression, Jesus promised it, personal and corporate challenges. But actually, this is also a word from Isaiah. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Believe it. Believe it. The church is still growing. We hear increasingly of persecution in India. We have churches, part of commission in India, where there's persecution, where people who once could in some way have some sense of safety are now under threat from Hindu fundamentalists and being attacked. So we need to be those who actually believe God's kingdom is growing and expanding. So quickly, I want to go through these things. The first thing is an expectation of more. Believe for more. Don't think you will come out of this and just go back to where you were or even less than where you were. You might feel pruned. There might be adjustments. It might take some time, but you must believe that God is going to expand and enlarge your borders. Expect great things from God. That's what William Carey said. Expect great things from God. God's people who were once barren will be fruitful. And actually, we've been chosen to bear fruit. I find this personally a great encouragement. Jesus said to his disciples in John 15, I've chosen you to bear fruit. Now, if Jesus chooses you to bear fruit, be encouraged by that. It's not something that should be strange to you. You may never get on a platform to preach or to lead worship or something, but you are still called to bear fruit amongst your friends and your family. Whether you're going through struggles and difficulties or even illness, you are still chosen to bear fruit. That's greatly encouraging. I don't find that as a heavy burden on me. I find that releasing. That I don't really need to worry about bearing fruit. I just got to trust God, be a good witness, right? And what I'm doing, be good-hearted, share the goodness of God with people around me, and I will bear fruit. I believe that. It's something that is supernaturally natural to those who've been chosen by God. So be encouraged by those words from Jesus. You've been chosen to bear fruit. The church has been chosen to bear fruit. Why should we expect more? Because it's God's promise to us. God has spoken. The pandemic has caused loss. Hopes have been dashed. Plans, community plans have been disrupted. Friends, as I mentioned, friends, we've had friends who have died. Family, some of you will know family have died. Doubt and fear have found fertile ground in our mind and spirit. It's really important that we hear God's word and we know God's word and let God's word speak to us, not just words of comfort and reassurance, but also those exhortational words. Come on, press on. There's a work to do. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night comes when no one can work. Jesus had a sense of urgency in his own mission. So we hear God's word, the promise of many. And how does it happen? Well, it doesn't just happen through positive thinking. It happens because we have a potent God. He is a God of revelation and creation and power. And he causes things to grow. Somebody said this, if you ever see a turtle on a fence, you can be sure of one thing. It didn't get there by itself. And you know, all the blessing that comes to us isn't because we got there ourselves. It's because God has lifted us and placed us in the midst of his blessing and his joy and his goodness that we might bear fruit and be a witness to those. We are blessed through the efforts of another. We can expect more because God promises it. And he is a potent God. He's in the fruitfulness business. He says through Peter in the New Testament, once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You didn't get there by yourself. God has raised you through faith in Jesus Christ. And if you look in the Old Testament and the New Testament, some of the barren wombs that God opened. Sarah, she was barren, yet she produced Isaac. There was joy and laughter. Hannah, who was barren, she prayed that she might have a child and she would give him to the Lord. And Samuel was born, this man who was a great prophet. And then Manoah's wife, she was barren as well, and she produced Samson, this strong deliverer. And then in the New Testament, we have Elizabeth, who is barren. Gabriel says to Mary, listen, your sister who's reasonably old and is barren is going to have a child. Because with God, nothing is impossible. God works even in barren ground where we think there's not going to be much hope or fruit. God works. Out of barrenness, God has brought us into a place of joy, of laughter. Isn't that right? Joy. He's brought us to a place where we enjoy his word, his prophecies, his encouragement. He's brought us to a place where we can know deliverance and bring deliverance to others. He's brought us to a place like John the Baptist where we can point to Christ and call people to turn away from their life to follow Jesus Christ. That's what we are called to. So I want to say, don't let your hopes be dampened, right? Let faith arise. Trust God. Trust God. I want to say to leaders here, if you lead ministries or small groups or the elders, right? Don't let your hopes be dampened. I know you won't be silly. I don't, you know, Dave's strange, but he's not silly. You know, I know he's a great guy. Love him. I was talking to someone on the phone the other day, Dave. I said I was coming to Shepparton to preach. He said, oh, I remember their leader, Dave somebody. And I said, Dave Webb Pablo. He said, yeah, what a great guy he is. He says, when we came here, and they came once with Ben Davis, he said, we received just a fantastic welcome. So we've only ever been once, and you were the one that gave them a welcome too. Well done. So he might be strange, but he's not silly. Right. Excuse me. I think you know what I mean. We're all strange to some degree. Right. So let's expect more. Do you know, in the church Pam and I have started to go to, Hope Church, a few months ago, they didn't know hardly one or two, three teenagers. Now we've started to gather together. People have been added to us, and there's now about 10, 15 teenagers. They're now having to start a youth work. And do you know what happened? The youth leaders who had faith for it used to pray regularly, even when they only had three. They served the three, and they prayed, and they prayed, and now God has added. Out of relative barrenness has become something that is fruitful. Who knows what God will do here when you really start gathering together and things hopefully ease up. So there's an expectation of more. There's an expansion of what exists. Enlarge your tent. Now this means a challenge to the status quo. Leaders are always upsetting the status quo. They're asking you to go further, or can you do more? Can you work here and there? So let's attempt great things for God as well. Hopefully you might be stretched. You might feel stretched. And this might feel a funny season after the pandemic to be stretched. You've been in some way maybe relatively curled up. Maybe that's been your body language, protective, cautious. But now the Lord wants you to stretch, right? And to embrace, to be open in faith for what God wants to do in you and through you. I hope your body language as a church, your posture, is not defensive or cautious or arms crossed or a kind of a shrug. We don't know what's happening. I hope you're open-eyed. I hope you're welcoming. I hope you're available for what God wants to do in you and through you. Be shaped by God's call upon your life. Be shaped by the mission, the call that's on, the opportunities that you have as a church to influence those near and far, to help people in your community. Be shaped by that. Otherwise, you'll be shaped by other people who are godless. True. We're all shaped some way. Be shaped by God's word, by God's fellowship, by working in the church and being encouraged as you spread out and work in other contexts too, day by day. So I remember a character as I was growing up, and he was always depicted as a kind of a weird, wacky, romantic character, and his name was Don Quixote. And Don Quixote went on his horse and started to attack the windmills. And that was always the strange thing about this story of Don Quixote. He thought that the windmills were kind of giants, and he started attacking them. In fact, it was written by a guy called Miguel de Cervantes, and it was the first modern novel, very early in the 17th century. And he wrote about this fictional character, Quixote, and he was a romantic. He was attacking the windmills. He was dreamy. He was idealistic. But he thought he was full of chivalry. And he was a Spanish nobleman. And he appointed himself to save his nation. That's what he was going to do. But he also believed in this. He believed in the purity of choice and chance in his adventures. And do you know what he would do in the story? This is fictional, but it's a good illustration. He used to let his horse decide the way ahead. And do you know what the horse often used to do? Turn and go back to the stable. See, and that's a good lesson for us. If we just don't believe in the purity of chance, right? God's called you to something. Find out what God's called you to. Find out what God's called you to as a fellowship and get involved in it. Don't waste time. Don't be distracted. Don't let those who are tired or hungry or like his horse just wanted to be back home. Don't let them shape or restrict your vision and your mission. Have grace with people, but let's be those who go. It says here, do not hold back. That's a command. Oh, but Lord, do not hold back. The kingdom of God will grow. Jesus taught parables in Matthew 13 about the weed sown. They're sown amongst the wheat that is growing and growing and growing. He talked about the mustard seed, and it will go and it will grow into a tree in which birds will come. It's just very small. But he believes if we don't hold back, we will grow and affect others. Lengthen the cords. Lengthen the lines of delegation, accountability. Equip people. Don't keep the line short. Leaders, don't keep the lines too short, or you can restrict your reach in what you do. There's a bit of risk in letting people go, but you can do that with good accountability and good spirit. It says strengthen the stakes, increase the depth, the sturdiness to support the increased weight. It was nice to kind of be with you this morning in worship. It's nice to get back, isn't it, to worship together. And it's lovely just to be open to the contribution, whether they be prayers or words or exhortation from the worship leader or words of knowledge or whatever. Now, that's not what we worship. We worship Jesus, but he works by his Spirit and he comes to us. And it's important that we understand, as a family of churches within New Frontiers and Commission, we have a strong foundation. Jesus is our cornerstone. He's the Holy Spirit is our companion, our enabler. We want to be led by the Holy Spirit. We want to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. We want the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, evident amongst us when we meet together, even in twos and threes. That's what we want. We want to be based on God's word. We want to be people of the Spirit. We want to be people of grace and not law. We want to be open to apostolic and other gifts that will equip us. We want to have a high view of the church as well. So don't neglect these strong foundational stones. And while you're not neglecting those things, be stretched. Be strengthened. Prepare for more people. Have you got faith for that? Prepare for more people. Train more people. Pray for more people. Build your community for more people. Then encouragement in the process. It says this, you will spread out. Fear not. You will, what a great word. You'll spread out to the right and the left, all directions, all ages, reaching different ethnic groupings, different people, levels of some well-educated, some not well-educated, some having more resources, some having less or few resources. Hold on to God's promises. Your seed will cause fruit. Hallelujah. So this is not just positive thinking. It's thinking about the promises of God. It says this, desolate cities will be inhabited. You know, there will be some things that will die in this area and you will replace them. And the church has done that through the pandemic. Churches have been brilliant serving their communities. When other things haven't been able to be done, churches have done it. And other groups as well, but churches have played their part in it. And now and again, you might see desolation, but see, maybe that's an opportunity for you to take over something that is now desolate. Now can't be worked through. You'll reach unreached groups. There'll be no-go areas that you move into. You'll dispossess the enemy. Hallelujah. And before we start any objections, but what if, how will we do it? I can't do it. God says this, don't be afraid. Don't give room to fear. You'll not be ashamed or disgraced or humiliated. It says in verse 4, in the waiting, in the kind of the preparation time, sometimes we can begin to worry. And we place restrictions on ourselves and on others and on God. And he says this also, you will forget the shame of your youth. Hallelujah. The mistakes maybe you made when you were learning, forget those. Get on with it. Don't be hindered by your past. Whether you made a mistake or not, God is a God of new starts, new beginnings. Do that. Trust Him. You will remember no more the reproach of your widowhood. A sense of loss, if you've had that, God's going to bring you to a place of fulfillment. There'll be people you still miss. You'll still miss your husband. You'll still miss those who have gone, but God will help you to be fulfilled and productive in this season. There's dignity in being a child of God. And then my last point is this. We do all this enjoying God's presence. Isn't that good? You know, if we're going to end up like the turtle on top of a fence, it's going to be because of God and God with us. Not because we've made amazing efforts ourselves. We will make effort, but because of God's grace. It says this in verse 5, your maker is your husband. He is the Lord Almighty. That's good, isn't it, to speak it out like that? He is the Lord Almighty. He is the Holy One. He is the Redeemer. He is God of all the earth. And He loves you like a husband loves a wife. He loves you. He will provide for you. He will nourish you. He will protect you. That's our God. We don't do all of these things. We don't set our hopes and vision in a vacuum. We set it out in the context of God's love for us and for Jesus building His church amongst us. So I want to encourage you this morning. Lift up your head. Lift up your heart. I'm sure you're not going to be rushing into things quickly, but in some way, as we move out, hopefully of the pandemic, and we move on, the church needs to find its feet again, and we need to find the body ministering again as it gathers, but also as it's spread out amongst family and friends, school, workplaces, into our community. Time is relatively short. I want to say to the leaders, lead patiently, lead graciously, but lead this people of promise. You are a people of promise. Lead them as they are a people of promise that will produce fruit, and lead them to enlarge the tent. I just want to finish with this illustration. In her best-selling book called Passages, an author, Gail Sheehy, who died a few years ago, she discusses the various crises that people face when they go through life. And one was a middle-aged man. Now listen to this. He said, I've just come to the realization that I'm not going to live forever and that I've wasted so many precious years. I feel like I did as a child going to my first circus. I visited one sideshow after another, hoping to see everything. The rubber lady, the snake charmer, the sword swallower, the five-legged calf, the biggest, the smallest, the longest, the tallest. Time meant nothing until I reached the big tent too late. The three rings were bare, empty of clowns, acrobats, and performing horses. Foolishly, I'd spent my entire day on cheap sideshows and missed the main attraction. Furthermore, the circus would be gone in the morning. Now, I don't share that as a threat. I just share, let's make use of the time and the opportunity. Sometimes we can keep put up, oh, when things are better, when things are better, when things are eased off. No, make yourself available now to the Lord. Let's make sure we experience life as God intends it and make ourselves available in the way that God calls you to be, to serve Him. Let's stand together. I just want you to pray right now. Don't tell the Lord what you can't do. Don't tell the Lord, right, your problems and issues. He knows them. Just say this if you can. Lord, you know me. I just want to step forward and be available to serve you as I can. It might not be the same as the people to my left or my right. It might not be the same as other people are doing around me, but I just want to make sure, Lord, I'm not wasting time in the sideshows, that I'm actually doing what you've called me to do. And where I can, Lord, to serve your kingdom out and about, but where I can also to serve your church as it reaches out to its neighbors and those in need. I pray, Lord, as people offer themselves to you, Lord, you will, Lord, show them your delight, bring to them your affirmation, and Lord, we're not leaving it to chance. We want, Lord, to walk in the ways that you prepared for us. And we want to be fruitful as you've chosen us to be. And Lord, I pray for great wisdom for leaders and elders here as they kind of help the church work its way through the emergence out of the pandemic, or hopefully, Lord, moving to better times. We hope that, Lord. We pray that this nation will experience a church that is alive and pressing on. And I pray that Shepparton and this area will experience a Jubilee church that is alive in the Spirit, trusting your word and moving ahead with prophetic impulse to work out your purposes and to bear fruit. I pray, Lord, give us great encouragement as we make ourselves available. Amen.